Sportscast, July 24th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, and YouTube. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, for the latest and greatest when it comes to sports. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. You could get the Insta Bible app on the iOS app store. The New York Jets have traded Jamal Adams to the Seattle Seahawks after having a debacle this past offseason. And, of course, we have a special guest today, Matt O'Leary from the Jets, from the New York area, who is a tremendous podcaster who covers the New York Jets and also the New York Islanders. Matt, welcome to the Sportscast.
Thanks so much for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Matt, can you tell us a little bit about yourself before we head into Jamal Adams?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you mentioned, I cover the Islanders for a website called Eyes on Isles. I've been doing that for about 4 years now as a writer and podcaster, getting geared up for the playoffs to start back up again. And I've been in the Jets content game in YouTube-wise and videos and podcasts for the last couple of years and really enjoyed doing it. So here I am.
Now, for like the whole Jets part, are you just focused on that with just like the video part, or you're also putting that on like the audio podcast format as well?
I do a weekly show called Just Jets, which is on my YouTube channel, Matt O'Leary NY, but that is also in podcast form as well. You can get it either or.
Okay, good, because I had to double check. For some reason, I had trouble looking for it, but I did find your Islander one on Apple Podcasts.
Got it.
But okay. Maybe he's all okay. Anyways, Jamal Adams, Matt, was a big noisemaker up in New York. Tell us your side of the story and all the way to the trade.
Yeah, so realistically, it all kind of started this past year at the trade deadline, where there were rumors about Jamal Adams being moved to the Dallas Cowboys. And when Joe Douglas was taking phone calls about different players, he being Jamal Adams, became upset that, you know, he answered the phone and he was saying that you don't trade a player like me. And he wouldn't talk to the GM for about a week or so after, went right to the owner. And to me, that was the beginning of the downfall of the relationship between the Jets and Jamal Adams. In the off season, we heard a little bit of rumblings about it, nothing too crazy. And then around the draft, it came back up again. And then really the last like 2 months or so, it's been really heavy with Jamal. He said that, you know, he demanded a trade. He only wants to play for the Jets if he were to get a contract extension. The Jets weren't looking to do that because they still have 2 years of control left on Jamal Adams' rookie contract. And with the pandemic and stuff going on right now, it's not like they have a ton of, you know, cash coming in. So Joe Douglas decided that it was in the team's best interest to move on via trade. And I can't blame him for coming to that decision based on everything we've heard and seen from Jamal Adams the last 2 months.
As a Jets fan, are you kind of sad about, you know, him being traded, or do you think it was a good thing for the team?
In a perfect world, I think things would have worked out and they would have been able to come to an agreement on a reasonable contract extension next offseason, going into his, at that point, fifth year in the league. I would have been completely fine with that. But with everything that he's done on social media and then going to the Daily News and, you know, leaking the story that Adam Gase doesn't talk to the team at halftime and throwing Joe Douglas under the bus and stuff like that, I think this was really the only option for the Jets. While I like Jamal Adams on the field, I think he's a phenomenal safety, arguably a top three safety in the league, I would say for sure. There's no denying his talent, but I'm not sure that paying him the $20 million a year he was allegedly asking for, especially after the drama that he's caused the last few months, would have been worth it. And, you know, the Jets got a pretty good haul for it, so I'm pretty happy with what went down the other day.
Last week, he was talking about the issue with head coach Adam Gase, how Adam Gase is not a leader in like the locker room, where he has other coaches making some decisions, or, you know, just telling like the person what to do. Do you believe in those rumors, or you think just Jamal was just a little disgruntled last week?
I think it's a mix of both, to be honest with you. I'm personally not a big Adam Gase guy. I think he's flawed as a head coach, and he definitely is more invested in the offensive side of the ball. So it's really not surprising that he didn't have a relationship with someone on the defensive side. How the Jets run things, and I'm not necessarily saying this is the right way to do it, but this is how they kind of operated last year. Adam Gase is the head coach of the offense, and Greg Williams is the head coach of the defense. So, you know, Gase never really interacting with anyone on the defensive side of the ball isn't too much of a surprise. Again, I don't know if that's the right way to run a team, but I buy into Gase valuing the offense more and caring more about the offense and maybe neglecting that side of the ball, which some players probably won't like. I just think that's the nature of the relationship that the Jets have with their two coaches being Greg Williams and Adam Gase.
Yeah, I'm actually a Miami Dolphins fan, and we were not very happy with him. And then, of course, he went to the Jets, our rival team. So I've been hearing a lot of fans from New York that don't like him either. Also, my barber, who is a huge Jets fan, does not like him as well. Mm-hmm. Do you think he has a year left, or what do you think his future looks like with the Jets?
I think it's really up to what happens this year record-wise. They won 7 games last year. I would assume that you need to see an improvement on that. Now, the Jets have a much harder schedule. The AFC in general has – AFC East has a much harder schedule in general versus having to play the AFC West, the defending Super Bowl champions, and the NFC West. You have the 49ers, the Seahawks, the Cardinals are no slouch, and the Rams still have one of the better coaches in the game despite taking a bit of a step back last year. I think if he produces a similar record in 7-9 or worse, he's probably getting removed. Joe Douglas really doesn't have the tie to him. He didn't bring in Adam Gase as his head coach. He came in second, and while they did work together in the past, I think the notion that, you know, they're friends outside of, you know, their football operations is kind of a stretch. I don't think that Joe Douglas is going to tie himself to Adam Gase if he doesn't have to. If Gase comes in and the Jets, you know, put up a much improved season, Darnold takes a significant step forward and the offense moves forward, then he's probably coming back for a third year. But if the offense is stagnant again, and if the Jets are, you know, they finish with a losing record, I don't think we see Adam Gase back for a third year.
Pretty questionable. See what happens with the Adam Gase saga, and which I obviously agree. I mean, he is very offensive minded. He was a quarterback coach before, so I felt like I thought there was some promise with Adam, but it's not panning him out to be a head coach for some reason.
Yeah, definitely. I just don't think that it's working for whatever reason. Maybe he's someone who's more of a coordinator and or just an offensive coach rather than someone who can, you know, have the title as head coach. To me, if you're going to be labeled as an offensive guru or an offensive-minded coach, you can't finish with a bottom 10 offense every year, which is something he's done each of the last 3 years at this point.
Of course, there's a promising quarterback named Sam Darnold. We'll see how things pan out. The NFL draft, the first pick the Jets got was Mekhi Becton. Matt, what are your thoughts? Was this the pick that you guys really needed?
Yeah, the Jets definitely needed an offensive lineman in the first round. I know that there were flashy names on the board like CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy, which, yes, getting receiver help for Sam Darnold was a need at the time and still is. But the Jets' offensive line was by far the worst unit in the league last year. They definitely needed a franchise left tackle, and someone like Mekhi Becton should be able to fill that role for hopefully a decade plus with Sam Darnold. That's the goal. But to me, picking where the Jets were, it had to be the best tackle available. Joe Douglas valued Mekhi Becton over Tristan Wirfs, decided to go with his guy Becton, and I think it was the right pick.
Denzel Mims got selected in round 2. What are your thoughts about this pick?
I absolutely loved it. When doing my work for the NFL draft, I thought Denzel Mims was someone who was going to go in the late first round. And when he was available for the Jets at 48, when they were originally picking, that's who I wanted them to pick. Joe Douglas decides to trade back, and Denzel Mims was somehow still on the board, and he pulled the trigger at that point. While picking up more draft capital in the process, I think is a phenomenal move from Joe Douglas to be able to maneuver the board like that. But Mims maybe isn't someone who's going to put up monster numbers in year one. But down the line, I really like his game. He's a big body receiver and could be a potential nice red zone threat, which is an area in which the Jets lack. I'm really high on him going forward and think he's going to be a nice piece to go along with Sam Darnold in this offensive build.
And the rest of the draft, of course, you got Ashton Davis, James Morgan, Bryce Hall, Brandon Mann. What are your thoughts about like the Jets' overall draft picks after the right after round two?
Yeah, I definitely think Joe Douglas did a really good job in his first year. The only pick that I really didn't care for was James Morgan, just because with the amount of needs the Jets had, I don't think they could afford to take a backup quarterback in that spot. Someone who's going to be a developmental piece at that. I don't think he's ready to be a backup right now in 2020 in the NFL. And they went out and signed a veteran in Joe Flacco. I would have rather them go out and sign Joe Flacco or someone like him like they did, and then use that pick to maybe double down at a wide receiver position or take another swing at a position of need rather than drafting a backup quarterback and a developmental backup quarterback at that when you have as many needs as the Jets do. So that was really my only critique. Other than that, I think he did a good job in, you know, focusing on some needs. They took Cameron Clark, who's a tackle who I think can move to guard at the next level. Brandon Mann in the sixth round is supposedly one of the best punters in the country, has an absolute bomb of a leg. So we'll see from that. And I really like Bryce Hall a lot. I don't know if he's going to have a big role on the team in this year, but potentially a starter in a few years from now for sure.
Looking at the rest of the roster, Sam Darnold. Are you a Sam Darnold fan?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think Sam Darnold is a very talented quarterback. I think the Jets have done an awful job in the first 2 years of his career putting talent around him. They've made life as difficult as possible for their young quarterback. And part of the reason is because they had an awful offensive line. Part of the reason is because they didn't have a ton of playmakers. I still think they need help at the wide receiver position, but Joe Douglas absolutely went out and completely revamped the offensive line. When you look at the week one starters for last year versus this year, there's five new starters. Alex Lewis is really the only returning player from last year who the Jets traded for as a starter. From there, you went out and signed Connor McGovern, who I think is a top 10 center in the league. Drafting Mekhi Becton on the left side, I think, is going to be good. You bring in a veteran like Greg Van Roten to play one of the guard positions. Really, the only one I'm a little bit concerned about is right tackle, whether that's going to be Chuma Doga, someone the Jets drafted in the third round a couple years ago, or if it's going to be George Fant, who they signed from the Seahawks. I think that's maybe the one weak link. But the Jets, with Le'Veon Bell and a better offensive line, with the addition of Denzel Mims and Chris Herndon coming back from injury this year, I think is going to be huge for this offense. And I expect Sam Darnold to improve this year, put up improved numbers, and I definitely see him as a franchise quarterback for sure.
We have a lot of Alabama fans, and they're wondering, what are your thoughts so far with Quinnen Williams with the Jets?
I think in year one, he left a little bit to be desired as a top three pick. He was someone who was a rotational player in Greg Williams' defense. He was okay. It wasn't like he was bad or anything like that, but I was just expecting a little bit more pop from someone who is taken that high in the draft. With trading Leonard Williams away and the continued of aging from Steve McClendon on the interior defensive line, I expect him to take a step forward this year. But I would say he left a little bit to be desired in year one.
Of course, you guys also lost Robbie Anderson. Was that a big loss for you guys?
Yeah, I think Robbie Anderson was definitely a big piece to this team. Numbers-wise, he went over 900 yards in 2017 and then took a little bit of a step back each of the last 2 years. But since he's become a regular starter in Robbie, his starting quarterback has missed three games each of his first 3 years. In 2017, McCown went down, and he's playing with like Bryce Petty the last few weeks of the year. So his numbers weren't that great in those games. Then Darnold goes down, and he's playing with the corpse of Josh McCown that in 2018. And then in 2019, Luke Falk had absolutely no shot in there. So while the production numbers might not pop off the page, I think he's one of the better deep threats in the NFL. And when utilized properly in an offense, I think he's, you know, extremely talented player. They replaced him with Breshad Perriman, who I think is kind of like a poor man's version of Robbie Anderson. Perriman came on strong at the end of the year last year, but that was only in like a 5-game sample size. The rest of the way, he didn't have all that much of a productive season. So if you're getting the second half of Perriman last year, then it's probably an upgrade. But if it's first half of the year and prior in his career for Perriman, then it's probably a little bit of a step back.
Yeah, definitely. The Jets are definitely forming up. Of course, the coaching part is the question mark. Let's hit in a little bit next door to the Giants. They released Aldrick Rosas and they replaced it with Chandler Contessaro. Was that a right move by the Giants?
I mean, Chandler Contessaro wasn't really all that great here with the Jets. I don't know how many better options were out there. I'm pretty sure Gostkowski's still available, so I would probably rather gone that route than Chandler Catanzaro, just because I've seen him kick for my team and he's really not all that great. But I understand why, with all the allegations against Aldrick Rojas, that the Giants decided to move on.
Yeah, something to definitely look at. Of course, you know, two rival teams playing in the same stadium. What are your thoughts about like the whole NFL schedule for COVID? Do you think they'll start on time? I know they canceled the NFL preseason, but what are your thoughts about everything with COVID and also with like the NFL?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be weird this year. Like they already came out and said, the New Jersey governor, that there won't be any fans in the stands for the Jets or Giants this year, which is going to be, you know, definitely difficult to get used to. I am certainly hoping for a full season to be completed. I wouldn't necessarily put that in as a lock just yet, depending on, you know, how they're able to handle and do the testing, I think is going to be a huge part of it. This is uncharted territories for the NFL. And while I think they've taken some precautions, they probably are going to have to do a little bit more before they, you know, get a training camp started, which is going to be coming up real soon, and get the season underway. But I kind of feel bad for the undrafted free agents and the fringe roster players, because they're not going to get as close of a look as they normally do with the lack of preseason and training camp.
Yeah, something to definitely look at. I know that there are a few teams out there like the Dolphins and Ravens that they're limiting amount of fans in their stadiums, I believe 15%. And of course have, you know, entrances and exits of the stadium. So it should be quite interesting, but it's not going to be the normal season. We'll see how things are going. But overall, what are your predictions for the New York Jets? How deep will they finish in the AFC East? And of course, we know that Cam Newton was just added to the Patriots. But where do you think the Jets will finish off in the AFC East?
Yeah, when I look at the Jets roster and compare it to the rest of the division, I think that both the Patriots and Buffalo Bills are better on paper. With the addition of Cam Newton, I expect the Patriots to be the division winners. And from there, I think the Buffalo Bills are about a 9 or a 10-win team and will be competing for a wild card spot. To me, the Jets and the Dolphins are a little bit below that. I'd probably have the Jets at either like 7 or 8 wins this year, and then Dolphins not too far behind that with like 6 or 7, something like that. But I'm looking right around 500 for the Jets.
You really think the Patriots adding Cam Newton, will that really help them win the AFC East?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think if he's healthy, it's a significant upgrade over Jared Stidham. And I thought that Bill Belichick is too good of a coach to let that team, even with a Jared Stidham at quarterback, really fall beyond a mediocre team. But I think if Cam is 75% the player he once was, I think that they're still a 10 or 11 win team with the rest of that roster.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, a lot of question marks with Cam, but so far he's practicing with Edelman, so that's definitely a good sign for him. And of course, you know, Buffalo still wants to be the AFC East top dogs, and the Dolphins are, you know, just got Tua, but I think it will take a couple of years for that to reflect in the table. But what are your thoughts about Tua going to Miami?
Yeah, I think he's a very intriguing prospect. I like him a lot coming out of Alabama. The health scares me a little bit, slightly, but
me too.
I think that if he can stay healthy, I definitely think he can be solid at the next level. To me, it's really just the injuries. That to me, if he continues to get hurt, then I think he's probably going to flutter out. But if he stays healthy at the next level, I think he should be very good.
Sam Darnold, Tua are the future of the AFC East. So we'll definitely see how things will panel it out. You're a New York Mets fan. Baseball started in less than a couple of days ago. What are your hopes for them for this season?
Yeah, right now I just hope the season continues. It looks like they canceled a couple games today and are having some issues with the COVID. But as far as you know, the Mets go, I just think that they are probably competing for a wild card spot at this point. I don't think they are going to be able to have what it takes to knock off a team like the Braves in the NL East. I think they probably win the division. And the Mets will probably be in the conversation for one of the wild card spots.
There you have it. There's some optimism there. I know the Yankees are doing really well, and they're favorites to win the whole thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you look at the American League, the Yankees definitely have to be one of the favorites in that whole league. And then in the National League, the Dodgers are probably the favorites. But, yeah, the Yankees adding Gerrit Cole really, I think, put them over the top. So we'll see if it holds true this year. But they certainly on paper look like the best team.
Almost forgot to ask you, what are your thoughts about Le'Veon Bell? Do you think we'll see the Bell we saw back in the Steelers, doing it with the New York Jets this season?
I definitely think Le'Veon Bell is going to be closer to the player that he was in Pittsburgh. I don't know if it's going to be, 100% the guy who was putting up close to 2,000 all-purpose yards every year. I think he rushes for close to 1,000 this year, maybe a little bit below in the 900s, and then adds about another 500 or so receiving yards. So maybe somewhere around 1,500, 1,600 all-purpose yards is where I expect Le'Veon Bell to be this year.
It should be quite interesting, of course, a high valuable player at one point, and then like last season wasn't like the best. But, yeah, it should be quite interesting for the Jets. They have key players there, so we'll see if things kind of flourish out and make it up there. Anything else before we head into predictions?
No, I think you hit it on the head with Le'Veon Bell. To me, I think part of the reason why he struggled last year is because of his usage. I don't think Adam Gase really used him properly in his offense. He was running into a terrible offensive line right through the A-gap about a million times a game, it felt like. And there's a little bit of a lack of creativity. So I hope that they implement him a little bit better this year for sure.
Sticking with the Jets, I'm kind of curious. In the past 20 years, let's say, or maybe 30, who's been the best Jets coach?
If you want to go back 30 years, I'd say probably Bill Parcells. But in more recent history, it's probably Rex Ryan and the success that he had in 2009 and 2010. Shortly thereafter, his success kind of wore off. But I think what he was able to do in those 2 years with those defenses is probably the best coaching performance that I've seen with the Jets.
I agree. I think Rex Ryan brought some energy, and even with, competing with the Patriots, they were definitely a huge force. But of course, Bill Parcells, one of the greatest of all time, was a big impact for the Jets. But hopefully that future will be relived again, because I know the Jets have a lot of rich history when it comes to football. And we'll see what happens with the glory days. Predictions, Matt. Who do you have tonight between the Mets versus the Red Sox?
Yeah, I like the Mets going on the road. They lost back-to-back games, but I think going on the road and getting back in gear, I expect the offense to come alive a little bit, so I would take the Mets tonight.
They're both 1-2. Give us a score, if you can.
I'll say something like 4-2 Mets.
4-2 Mets. Yeah, which we were talking about before, like the Marlins had to cancel a game tonight against the Phillies. Eight players and staff got tested positive for COVID. So hopefully that does not distract sports and baseball at the same time, because that could have some domino effects going on there. Poll question of the day: who is your favorite New Jersey team? The choices are the Giants, the New York Jets, Rutgers, or the New Jersey hockey team, which is like the Devils. What is your favorite New Jersey team?
I would go with the Jets.
Of course. I had a feeling that was going to be your answer. The Giants are winning 36%. Next is the Jets, then Rutgers, then the hockey team, the Diablo Devils. So we'll see what happens. You go on the Sportscast 1 to vote. Matt O'Leary, what is the best way for people to reach you, to talk to you all about the New York Jets?
Yeah, pretty much anywhere on social media, Twitter, Instagram, at Matt O'Leary NY, or on YouTube in the comments at Matt O'Leary NY. I'm always talking sports over there and having a lot of fun.
And tell us about your podcast. How often, how frequent do you guys post, and when are they on?
Sure. So Just Jets is a weekly show that comes out every Monday. Basically, I do a monologue in the beginning and then answer voicemail questions after that. As for Eyes on Isles, we do a weekly show on the main feed that drops every Wednesday night. And then from there on the Patreon, patreon.com/Eyes on Isles, you can get post-game shows and a mailbag show on a subscription for $5 a month.
And when is hockey coming back?
August 1, this Saturday.
Coming up. Wow. It should be impressive. How is their style? Is it like they're going to be like in a bubble, or they play like at their own stadium, or what's the deal there?
Yeah. So the Eastern Conference, all those teams are going to be playing in a bubble in Toronto, and the Western Conference will be playing in a bubble in Edmonton. And they'll just, you know, play it out in both of those cities until you have a winner. And then from there, I don't know if they decided yet where they're going to play the Stanley Cup final, whether it's going to be in Toronto or Edmonton. But as you go throughout the playoffs before that, it's going to be just in those two cities.
What that should be interesting. Two bubbles instead of all in one in Orlando, like the MLS and the NBA. My question to you is, what is your take on soccer, and who do you follow in soccer?
Don't watch it. I've never really been interested in soccer. Growing up, I've just been a pretty much baseball, football, hockey guy. Not really into too much basketball, but soccer is not really something that I've ever really considered myself into.
I got you. I was going to ask you a NBA question with Thibs going there, but I guess you're not really interested with the Knicks either.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't really follow the Knicks too closely. Like I said, the teams I cover, the Mets, Jets, Islanders. But yeah, I'm not really an NBA or MLS kind of guy.
Hey, let's stick with the main ones. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter at thesportscast1. Tomorrow we have Alabama legend Ahmad Galloway tomorrow night, and we'll have a lot of treats there. Talk about what's happening in college football and the SEC. Who is your college football team?
I probably follow Texas the closest. I don't have a strong allegiance to them, but I kind of just look for the good games each week. Here, you know, in New York, there's not really one team that everyone roots for. College football is really not that big up here, but I probably follow Texas the closest out of all the college football teams.
Yeah. Northeast is definitely more pro football than college, and then of course, like in the South, is definitely more college football. Anyways, Matt O'Leary, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for having me on.